The Homeless Podcast deals with topics of a sensitive nature and is not intended for all audiences. At times, this podcast may include explicit language or adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome back to the Homeless Podcast, Season 1, Episode 11, a podcast that tells the stories of those that live on the fringe of society. If you haven't already subscribed, please make sure you do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you may be listening right now. As you listen to this episode, please note that the opinions stated on the podcast by guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Homeless Podcast itself. American Indians represent 10% of the homeless population in Seattle, Washington's King County and in the surrounding counties. The Native tribes are a forgotten people. This is nothing new. Since the devastation of so many Native tribes due to American settlers over the last few hundred years, the Native population has grown smaller and, for many, insignificant. Drug use among American Indians has been a focus of advocacy groups that reach out to support those dealing with substance dependency issues. And the amount of homeless among the tribal members has grown. And now, in this new pandemic of COVID-19, we are seeing the numbers of substance abuse and homelessness rise. Chief Seattle Club in Seattle is creating homes and programs for indigenous people and is intent on opening 80 apartments for low-income housing for American Indians later this year. With the current pandemic affecting construction and social gathering, who knows when the date will actually be? Today we will hear from Gordon. He is an American Indian of the Makah tribe, which is from the greatest northwestern tip of the lower 50 states. Gordon has faced drug abuse, physical abuse, neglect, and has contemplated suicide over the years. He has been homeless for the past 7 years and has been on a waiting list to receive a Section 8 voucher for housing for the past 4 years. A Section 8 voucher is provided by the Department of Housing and Urban Development to low-income people for the purpose of paying a portion of their rent. What qualifies you for Section 8 housing? Well, it's your family size, your family composition, your personal history, your assets, and your citizenship or legal immigrant status. As of February this year, when Gordon and I had a chance to sit and talk, he finally received his voucher. Now he just needs to wait to find a place to live. You may recall Amy, the amazing advocate for the homeless in the Port Angeles town on the northern tip of Washington state. After speaking with her, which you can hear in episode 9, she and I hopped in the car and drove around the town. She was able to name every homeless person she saw, and she knew where to find Gordon. We pulled up to the sidewalk next to the local grocery store. Gordon hopped in, and we set off for the park by the sea, known as Hollywood Beach. An overcast day with wind bellowing and seagulls soaring above us, we find an empty park bench, and Gordon begins telling his story. He appears to be in his early to mid-30s, and as I mic him up, he laughs along with Amy, as he still is unsure of what a podcast actually is. Gordon has an amazing story to tell, and at the end of this episode, I will have an update on his current situation. A proud Makah, a friend to all, and a seeker of light, this is Gordon. What I'm going to do here, Gordon, yeah, we'll just put it like on right there. Well, actually, let's go on this side because it opens funky. Awesome. Thanks, brother.
All right, cool. So tell me, so what I do, Gordon, basically is I just want to hear people's stories. Like, I just let people talk. You know what I mean? I don't really care how it comes out. I don't really care. I don't have an agenda of questions I ask. All I just do is that people just feel comfortable and they know that they can say whatever they want to say. And if they want me to edit something out, say, don't put that in there, and then I'll mark it. So if you're like, don't say this, I can cut it for you. I can use a different name if you don't want Gordon. I can use Gordon.
I'm fired by my name.
All right. Well, tell me your story a little bit. Amy says you have an interesting story.
Yeah. About 7 years ago, I came back from Porterville, California, from being with someone who I thought she was my true love. She sent me up this way to get help from my tribe, which is Niue, McCall.
McCall tribe?
Yeah, and I came back in August 2013, and I was living with my brother about like 3 months, and 3 months later, he heard a rumor down there saying I was talking stuff about him, and he just got tired of it and kicked me out. And ever since that, I've been homeless, and it's been I guess I could say it's been a battle off and on, because I've been homeless about 7 years, but with no help from family, nothing like that. I've been doing everything on my own, and I guess without the support I have now, I would not be here. I would probably be dead, because I deal with suicidal thoughts and my depression and PTSD and stuff like that. So I go to a place called Palenza Behavioral Health, PBH, and I've been going there since 2014, of March 14. And without them, I won't be here too. I've been dealing with my depression for a long time, ever since I lost my dad. I lost my dad when I was 24, and I stayed with him until I was 24. Then when he passed away, I started living on my own, and little by little, I've been losing stuff here and there. And what I realized, I don't have to be a material person no more. I'm homeless. I don't need anything that much, what I don't have to carry around with me. Mm-hmm. And it's just a thing what I used to get upset about, because I used to be material with clothes and stuff, because when I was living with my dad treated me wrong. He treated me the same way he got treated when my dad was alive. And I guess it was just a history of family passing on neglect, abuse, and alcohol in my life. When I was 10 years old, I cut that off. I choose not to drink because I seen my mom, my dad, my cousin, my uncles, my aunties, pretty much almost rest, my whole family deals with alcohol. And I seen how alcohol runs my family's life. It basically almost runs their life. And I don't drink because of that. My drug of choice was meth. And that was a pretty big battle I've been dealing with off and on. Just last year, I had 282 days until I relapsed August 22nd over a roommate problem. And that's another lesson I learned. I should not let anyone push my buttons or control my emotions of what I do. And he told the staff at the place where he was staying at and where I was staying at, told the staff I was using, which I was not using. and they really believed him over me. And they know the signs of when I'm using and when I'm not using. I guess being on the streets is actually one of the big lessons I ever learned. The main thing I actually learned was be very independent for myself. If I need help, I will ask for help. Amy knows that. I used to have a rough time asking for help. It took me like a while to actually understand why do I need help, why people need help. And people around here, they do want to help, but they don't know how to help a person out because they don't know how to help that person out because they've never been in that situation before. For me to just talk about my story of my homeless, of my life, it's, I used to be ashamed of my story, but I can't be ashamed of what happened to me or anything like that. I can't hide it from anyone. It doesn't matter if I don't speak. A person who gets hurt, they tend to hide their pain, and when they're hiding it, you can see it in their face by how they're reacting around you. If a person sees you try to help and they're trying to accept the help, but they don't know how to do it in the correct way, they just do it in the wrong way, like for instance, keeping you in a distance, like two arm distance. And that's how some people are sometimes. They keep people in the distance because they don't want to get hurt. And I understand about that because I've been hurt so many times in my life, from my family, school, on the streets, in public, you name it. I've been picked on almost in any places. It's just, I guess people are just, I don't want to say racist, I want to say they're just jealous because they see something in that person and they can't get it. It's basically like what I said about the other thing. For me to deal with my homeless, is, I don't want to say it's easy, because every day when you wake up and you come out here and you have no place to go and you're dealing with the rain, snow, wind, any type of weather out here. I see people don't want to help homeless people out around here because they don't know how to do it. They've never been in that situation. And for them to see that and don't understand why they can't do it, they should actually open their eyes even more to see what's going on with someone's life instead of judging them about what they did or how they became homeless or why they're homeless. There's so many things people out here talk about homeless people, like for instance, I got called an addict, alcoholic, some other stuff I prefer not to say. It's just a battle what I have to deal with every single day when I'm out here. And for me to actually open people's eyes around here, it's a huge thing. And I do see people try to reach out to other people, but like what I said, they don't know how to do it because they've never been in that situation. And I do see people started to care more around in this town. And I do see people try to help a homeless person out by socks, clothes, blanket, hand warmers, feet warmers, toothbrush, hygiene, stuff like that. And I do see people doing that now. Like 3-4 years ago, I've hardly seen people doing that. But now, it's been like 4 or 5 years ago of me just walking around here and seeing people just starting to care now. It's just I don't want to say it's a normal everyday thing for me. It's not. It's a normal everyday battle for a person who lives on the streets to survive. And reason why some people out here survive, because that survivor instinct kicks in, and it guides us to a place where we could try to stay warm, try to actually be safe. Because on the streets around here, there's some people who pick on homeless people for no reason. Yeah, they put them down, call them names, tell them to get a job, stuff like that. That was like probably 6 years ago when they started doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't really see that happening that much nowhere around here.
We'll be right back. Do you ever feel that urge to give back, but you just don't know where to start? I know that feeling. It's hard to reach out sometimes, and we at the Homeless Podcast want to make that easier for you. Starting with this episode, the Homeless Podcast will take a brief pause every episode to speak directly to the heart of the giver, to you. If you'd like to give back but don't know exactly how, then why not start with the Rediscovery Program in Port Angeles, Washington? As part of the Peninsula Community Clinic, the Rediscovery Program has helped hundreds over the years with shelter, medical resources, free dental care, and weekly welfare checkups. Partnering with the Port Angeles Police and Fire Departments, Rediscovery is a nonprofit organization that is always looking for resources and providing those resources directly to their clients. You can call Rediscovery to learn more at 360-797-1311. That's 360-797-1311. Visit them on Facebook at facebook.com/yourlinktoresources. That's facebook.com/yourlinktoresources. Rediscovery knows that life can be hard, and they can help. If you'd like to be directly linked to the Olympic Peninsula Community Clinic, visit them online at opcclinic.com. There, you'll find volunteer opportunities and so much more. If you or someone you know can't afford a doctor, a dentist, or a counselor, they are there for you. Servicing over 2,000 patients each year, the OPCC Dental Clinic always is looking for volunteers as dentists, hygienists, dental assistants, and other opportunities for you to give back. Contact Rediscovery and OPCC today to learn more at 360-797-1311. Or you can email the Homeless Podcast and we'll be sure to direct you to the right resources. That's homelesspodcast@yahoo.com. And now back to Gordon's story.
This is actually one of my favorite spots, if you notice.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I actually enjoy it. I actually enjoy this spot. This is like one of the best spots, because when you sit here, you have the mountain right there. You have the oceans right there.
Yeah.
And a nice view. And across the ocean is Canada.
Right.
And just don't be afraid. I was actually afraid for actually help, to get help.
Why were you afraid?
Because reason why I was afraid, because what my family did to me. A family supposed to be there for you, not put you down, call your names, have your siblings beat you up or call you names and stuff like that. That's what my dad did to me when my mom passed away. I lost my mom when I was 12 years old. And when she passed away, my life was pretty much rough. Seeing my brother, my three sisters wearing clean clothes, getting school supplies for them, and leaving me with nothing, just the same clothes what I had when my mom passed away. Had shoes that was just falling apart, holes in them, pants that did not really fit my size. That's pretty much what I dealt with, and that's why I was afraid to ask for help, because what my family did to me. And I know family supposed to not do that, but I guess my family was broken because what was going on with my family history. But other than that, I'm okay with my history of my family, because I understand what alcohol does, and I understand what drug does and stuff, because I've been there. And I dealt with it in a wrong way of hiding my pain from other people, which I should have been asking for help from day one when I lost my mom, instead of hiding my pain and not asking for help for a long time. And that's where my depression came in, because I was getting treated wrong by my dad and my sisters.
So, can you talk me through kind of just a typical, I know not every day is different, but can you tell me like what a day is like for you when you wake up? I mean, and you said it's when you wake up, you're kind of, it's in your face again. What's that like for you? And what is a normal day kind of?
Well, today is actually a normal day for me right now, because I'm actually happy right now today.
Good.
It's been a while for me to get depressed and be depressed. When I used to deal with my depression, I used to deal with it as like weeks on end, months on end, days on end, just being depressed from day one to next day. And I guess the meds I'm taking is actually helping me to be stabilized. If I'm not on those meds, let's say if I just totally stop taking them, a week pass on, I'd be having a rough time sleeping, and I'd be probably going down the route of using again and being depressed all over again and dealing with the next fix. And that's what addicts are always dealing with, the next fix from the next fix. If they can't get that fix, they're gonna suffer and they're gonna be hurting for a while. And for me not to deal with my addiction, well, I can't say not dealing with it. I'm dealing with it every single day when I wake up to actually stay clean. The next day, tomorrow, it might not be a good day for me. It might be a bad day where I might use. And for me to see that, I have to fight that every single day to stay. If I can't help myself out, I can't help someone out. And that's how I am. I like to help people out a lot, because it's just how I am. My dad.
Any of y'all smoke cigarettes?
No.
Sorry, Ben. How do you help?
give them advice, because I had people out here come up to me and ask me, how can they stay clean? Because they see me staying clean. And I just tell them, you have to change your places, things, and people. It's just basically like, I used to do meth up there at the Bell. Whereas the Bell, before the Bell was closed, I used to do my drug back there in the back. And I was a survival, number one survival thing for me to actually have my drugs on me. And I dealt with it in a pretty bad way around here, because I had people use me for my money, because I am actually on SSI. And I had people just want to be friends with me because I had money, but when I'm broke, they're not there no more. And I'm there hurting for my next fix. So that's why I don't want to be in my addiction no more, because I don't want people to use me. And on top of that, I'm tired of dealing with my depression. Pretty much every day when I come out here, I ride around or walk around or ride my bike just to try to help the people who I know who's homeless and the people who are friends with me. It doesn't matter if that person is in my life for 1 minute, 2 minutes, or 3 minutes, or a lifetime. I'm still going to care about that person no matter what. It's just how I am.
That's awesome.
Well, my goals right now, I got on top of Section 8. And I got the voucher.
This is Section 8, right?
Yeah.
Okay, for housing.
Yeah, okay. Now, all I'm doing is looking for a place.
Congrats, man. So, you got the voucher.
Yeah.
Looking for a place. Are you looking to get a place with someone, or are you looking to do it on your own? Or
right now, I want to do it on my own, because I've been dealing with the roommates off and on ever since I've been living here.
Okay.
And
been there, done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now the tricky part's finding the place that will take the voucher and that has an opening. And yeah. Okay.
Are there a lot of places around here that take Section 8 or not?
There's places here, but most of the places I'm trying to find, they don't have like a one room, one bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They only have like a two bathroom or a two room one.
Two bedroom. Yeah.
Around here, our affordable housing is sort of skewed toward, it's skewed towards families.
Okay.
And so our single folks out there are sort of,
Get the end of this thing.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it that way, but yeah.
You got to look harder.
It's harder, and so roommating up is done a lot and makes sense for some people, but going from living and staying at the shelter and being around people all the time to having that same situation, so not many people want to do that, but... And around here, our rent rates are nuts. So,
here? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we, I look all
is
the time.
Is it because it's destination a bit, or is it?
Because I think our stock is real low. We don't have enough housing, and so the people with most money get it. You can rent a room with no, not your own bathroom, not your own kitchen, just a room for $600 a month.
What? That is wild. How does Section 8? Or how much a month do you qualify for with Section 8?
This is my first time being in this program of Section 8.
Well, congrats on getting in the program. That's a big move.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It took me a while to actually get on top of the list, because I signed up 4 years ago.
Didn't you just say 4 years?
Yeah.
4 years.
Yeah.
So between the time you signed up and right now, you got your voucher. Where have you been staying?
At the shelter.
At the shelter.
Okay. I'm actually in a program up there called Beat the Streets.
Okay.
And or me to be in that program. I actually fought to get into that program off and on. I kept asking to actually to get into the program because I just had a good benefit going by that program by looking at it when I was using the shelter as night by night. When I was looking at that program, I seen how the program was working with other people, mm-hmm. and I seen something that would actually help me stay clean. And the people who's in that program, the staff, they're so caring. They really care a lot, man. I'm surprised they actually go out of their way to actually help the people who's in the program.
So you're Macaw.
Yes.
But you're in California. And I know Macaw's up here in Nia Bay. I've been up to Nia Bay, and I've been to, like, the tip. You can walk out to the corner. It's so cool. How did you get to California? Your family just moved down there? Or?
Well, I never lived in Nia Bay.
Okay.
I lived down in eastern Washington. You know where Yakima Valley is?
I do.
I grew up down there. Okay. A little town called Granger.
Granger?
Yeah. I went to school there, graduated there. I stayed there until I was 26, 27. Then I moved out of there. Then that's when I went to Porterville, California.
Okay.
And
started longboarding.
I did not start longboarding until last month of March.
Oh, okay.
I just bought a longboard off someone.
I love them.
And I was about to give it back to her when she was about to pay me back. But she did not pay me back, so I kept it. So
good.
I started
business. There you go.
I started using it, riding around town, and it took me like a while, almost like a month and a half to get used to it.
Yeah.
Because where I was living, on 12th and Oak. That's with PBH, because PBH has housing too. Okay. And I was with one of their housing last year. Until October, a week before my birthday in October. And when I got that longboard, it took me like a month and a half to get used to it. And when I got used to it, I just started enjoying the ride.
Good job, man.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Gordon.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I
really appreciate it, man. It's, you know, your story is important, and everyone's story is important. I appreciate that a lot. And I'll make sure Amy knows the podcast when it comes out and she can show you what a podcast is. Yeah, that's great, man. I love it. So we need to go out of our comfort zones. Just experience somebody else. Walk in their shoes, you know? And
you can't really walk in someone's shoes.
Well, you can, right, but I mean,
you
hear the
walk
stories.
You can walk their path.
There you go.
Along with them.
Oh, I like that.
Wise. You're so
That's
wise.
Very wise. I like that.
Yeah. Every now and then, you're a singer.
Yeah. That's a nugget of wisdom right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
awesome,
full of
man.
It, though. The wisdom, I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was going to say, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been through a lot. And if you knew him before and you meet him today, it's pretty freaking impressive. So,
well, congrats, man. I want to find out,
times.
Too. You know, I'll check in with Amy. I'll check in. I want to know how the Section 8 thing goes and when you get your place. Not if. It's a when.
It's a when.
Yeah, it's a when. Just wait for that moment. It's coming.
Cool. Thanks, well, Russ.
Yeah, of
Thank
course.
You, Russ.
Thank you.
This interview took place back in February, and I'm pleased to be able to tell you that not only has Gordon found a home, but he has a girlfriend that has moved in with him, and the two seem to be on the up. Amy dropped me off at my car, and after we said goodbye, I drove to the eastern part of town, and just did a little bit of looking around. As I did, I noticed Amy getting out of her car at a local park known as the Bell, and chatting it up with some homeless individuals.
She was all laughs and smiles, and I couldn't help but feel I just met someone who is not in it for herself. She truly and unapologetically loves her clients. They are family to her. Gordon is family to her.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
I have to thank you for all you're
this
doing. And this is, I mean, to watch you go over and to go give someone a hug while I'm talking to Gordon, that was, you know, that you are the true spirit of what I think needs to happen here. So congratulations
Thanks.
For just being an awesome person.
Thank you, man.
We need more
Thanks,
awesome
man.
People. We need more awesome people.
Yeah, and so. I totally agree. And I again, most days, I go home and I'm like, I get paid to do this shit.
That's awesome.
Right?
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Anytime.
All right, Amy.
Hey. Thank you so much.
Thank
man.
You. Thank
Have
you.
Thank you.
Should
I say?
All right. If you would like to learn more about Amy's outreach, visit the Program of Olympic Peninsula Community Clinic called Rediscovery on Facebook at facebook.com/yourlinktoresources. That's facebook.com/yourlinktoresources. You can give directly to Rediscovery, and they are always looking for resources and amazing opportunities to reach out and to help others. Providing shelter, handing out sack lunches, and being not only an advocate, but a place for the homeless to feel loved and accepted. Contact them today to learn more about what we can do, even in this uncertain time, to help the helpless and to give a voice to the voiceless. Please feel free to leave a review about the Homeless Podcast and contact us if you have any suggestions and close ones that might want to tell their story. You can reach us by email at homelesspodcast@yahoo.com. You can also visit us on Facebook at homelesspnw, that's at homelesspnw, or even on Instagram at homeless_podcast. Remember, all it takes is a listening ear, an open heart, and the willingness to challenge yourself. In the next few weeks, you will hear from youth organizations, outreach programs for homeless families with infants and toddlers, and how the homeless are not to be forgotten, not to be feared. Together, we can make this world just a little bit brighter. Together, we can make this world just a little bit smaller. See you in 2 weeks, and until then, don't look away.